Open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. As you turn there, let me just thank you on behalf of my family once again for the much love that you've expressed towards us on the passing of my father-in-law this week. And we really, really appreciate all your love and concern and care and prayers on our behalf. So thank you. They mean a lot. Colossians chapter 1. Last week, we were looking at verse 20. And we focused on what Paul says here about being reconciled to God by the death of his son on a cross. That's what we focused on last week. And we said that Jesus didn't stay dead, that he resurrected from the grave. And by doing so, he left the receipt of what he accomplished on the cross was paid in full, no doubt. And that Jesus is victorious over sin, death, hell, and Satan. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. And now we go to verse 21. Paul continues and with this same mindset, talking about reconciliation, but he takes it further. And this is what he says, talking to the Colossians, which were a church, was a church in southwest, what we know now today as Turkey. So picture the country of Turkey, southwest Turkey. There were people who heard the message that Jesus was the Messiah, that he died on the cross and is now resurrected. These people believed, they were converted and born again. And now they have formed a church. There's Jews in this church. There's Gentiles in this church. They are one together in Jesus Christ. And now Paul says this to them. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in the body of flesh by his death. And so Paul starts off with a bang. You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind. He does not call them very pretty names here, does he? And this is not just true of the Colossians here. This is true of all of us by nature as who we are as human beings. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, no matter who you are, what you've done, no matter how bad you think the things you've done are, all of us are born as sinners. All of us. That's the bad news. Paul is reminding them of this. That at one time you were alienated. And this word alienated means a foreigner. It means estranged. It means that you were different. You're totally different people now. Before, you are far from God. That's what he says. But through Jesus Christ, in verse 20, he says, you have been brought near to God by the blood of his cross. You were alienated. You're far off. You're like a foreigner, estranged. The word could also be translated profane or unholy. They were not pleasing to God. Now, this isn't just because the Colossians were a bunch of dirty people. Again, it's because they're human beings. This could be true of every single person. He also doesn't say that they're just alienated, but he says that they're hostile in mind. Hostile in mind. This word hostile means in the Greek enemy. They're enemies to God. That might be surprising to some of you, but that's how the Bible describes those apart from Christ. Because our sin has warred against God. Our sin has caused a war against God. And we have become his enemies because we are desiring his glory to be ours. That's what sin is. It's me, number one. Let me get my way. It's me, myself, and I. All my pride, all my greed, all my self. It's taking from God what rightfully belongs to him, his glory. We're all glory hogs. We're all glory hogs. And that's why we're in the condition we are. And Paul says to them, you were alienated, you're hostile, but now what? He has now, verse 22, reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. This word reconciled means to change the nature of the relationship. If you were here last week, you heard about my terrible banking habits as a college student. How I had my checkbook all out of whack. Well, I won't embarrass myself anymore about that today. But we said that reconciling a checkbook is to make sure that your account matches the bank's. Well, this is what Paul is saying here. That although you were far away from God, you were his enemy, you were not like God, pleasing to God. God has now brought you through Jesus Christ and his cross into sync, into balance, reconciled. Meaning, how? How has he reconciled us? In his body, by his death. Oh, and by the way, in case you're worried about us, Lori handles all of our banking now, okay? I think I had a couple of questions about that later at the service. It's all on. When we got married, I said, I'll gladly hand that responsibility to you. But there's a price of reconciliation. There is no reconciliation. There is no peace with God without the Lord Jesus. There isn't. There is no reconciliation without a bloody cross. There is no reconciliation without a price to be paid, and Jesus paid it. Now, why did he do it? What is the culmination of being reconciled to God? What is the point? This is what Paul says. In order, that gives you purpose. It's a purposeful phrase. In order to. This tells us that God had a plan for what happened to Jesus. This is all God's plan. God is not just going play by play, minute by minute to see what is he going to do next. He gave up Jesus to be crucified. Jesus willingly, voluntarily offered himself on the cross. Why? In order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. This is amazing. The word present means to be in front of. It means to be brought near. Now think of the opposite of what Paul just said. You were alienated, right? That means what? Far away. But now, through Jesus, he did this in order to present you, to bring you near, to present you, to show you to his Father. How? Holy, blameless, above reproach. There's a radical transformation that happens when a person is reconciled to God. Radical. They go from being God's enemy to God's son or daughter. You go from on your way absorbing the wrath of God yourself because of your rejection of him, and being alienated away and far from God, to having right standing before God, right relationship with God, being brought close as a son or daughter approaches their father. That doesn't happen without Jesus. And this is what Paul says is, he did this in order to present you. It's purposeful, it's intentional. The cross is God's way. Some people believe the cross got in the way. You know, if Jesus would have lived a couple more years, maybe he would have done it a better way. There is no other way. Jesus is that Passover lamb that God required Israel to do year after year after year in the Old Testament. But now that Jesus has fully satisfied God, there is no need to re-crucify him day after day or week after week or year after year. Jesus, once for all, because he was fully pleasing to God, has redeemed us and reconciled us and satisfied God so that we who were once alienated and hostile have now been brought near to God. I mean, does that not just... Folks, there's nothing sweeter than that. There's nothing sweeter than that. Religion is God's... Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Let me do this. Let me do that. Let me try all this list and check off all the things that I need to check off in order so God can love me more, so God can approve me, so I can get into those pearly gates when I die. Let me do all the things that I need to do. The truth is that none of those things matter. They all fall short. That's religion. You can never reach God yourself, which is why God reaches you. This is why God steps out. So he takes those who were once strangers and hostile, his enemies, and brings them near, brings them close, changes the relationship, brings it in sync, brings it in balance. You were there, and now you are here. That's what salvation is. Right? That's what salvation is. Far from God from birth, but now through my new birth, being born again, I've been adopted. I've been approved. I've been accepted. I've been loved. Yes. We are so blessed we don't even know it. We don't. Sometimes we don't even fathom the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. I mean, we were once worers. We were once worers. Right? This is what Paul says. You once were alienated. Just think about that. You were once worers. I don't know if that's an English word, but just... you get my point. To understand that you were once worer, and now you're not? That now you're holy? Blameless? And above reproach? Folks, those words are weighty. But this is just not what Paul says here in Colossians. He also says this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 19. He says this, and we know this verse 17 very well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ, and here's our word, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I was born a once were, but now I'm a still ammer because I stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. In his righteousness, in his obedience, in his perfect redemption. So Paul says, new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Sometimes people say to me, but Dan, you don't know the things I've done. You don't know the places I've been, the people, the things I've done to people. Again, you once were alienated and hostile in mind, but now you have been brought near to God. The old is gone. Your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. I think sometimes people think the greatest thing about heaven is some golden streets. Right? Golden streets, that's what you're looking forward to? I mean, we could make that here if we wanted to. I mean, well, we'd have to have a lot of money, but golden streets? I mean, yeah, that's great and lovely, but folks, if that's what all heaven is, you have a very low view of heaven. To understand that right now, Jesus Christ has broken the penalty of sin in my life. Right now, that I no longer stand judged by God because of Christ. And because I'm no longer standing by the sin's penalty, I'm now no longer also under sin's power either. And one day, when I exit this life, I will no longer be in sin's presence. You once were alienated, but now he's done this in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach. Paul says this to the Corinthians in his first epistle. He says this in chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that crosses a lot of people off the list. Actually, crosses all people off the list. And look what he says in verse 11. I think that these six words are some of the best words in the whole Bible. And such were some of you. What is Paul saying to these Corinthians? You were once worrers too. Such were some of you. Wow, what a rowdy bunch, huh? Deceivers, sexual deviants, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, liars, greedy, drunks, Wow! This church was full of not so nice people. But what does Paul say? Not that, hey, you still are those things. What does he say? You were those things. But you're not anymore. Why? Because he's done this in order to present you holy, blameless. That's the point of your life. Do you think the purpose of your life is to get richer? Or to get healthier? Or to be happier? If those things happen to you, great. But those are no aims in life. Because at the pursuit of all those things, you will find emptiness. I was just reading an article yesterday by, one tech website I read. And most of you are not going to know a thing I'm saying in a second. A man who started a company called Mojang created a game called Minecraft. Really cool game. It's like Lego on the computers. Right? The kids know what I'm talking about. You don't have to understand that part to get the illustration. He sold the business to Microsoft for $2.5 billion. I mean, he started this thing on his computer. I mean, pretty cool, right? You create this game, and then you sell it to a major company for $2.5 billion. Boy, all his problems are over. In this interview that this tech blog did with him, he says, ever since I've sold the company and made all that money, I've never been more miserable. I've never had any fewer friends. He says, my life is empty. Think about that. all those things go away. They're here. They're material. They're great if you have them. Wonderful. Who wouldn't want to have $2.5 billion? Right? If not, then just give me your money. I'll take it away from you. All right? I'll be glad to take it. The point is that we focus on all the wrong things. When we have everything we need now, $2.5 billion is nothing compared to being reconciled to God. Nothing. There's no comparison to being presented holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Holy means I'm no longer foreign, a stranger, an enemy. I'm near to God. Blameless means I'm no longer hostile. Nothing sticks to my record. The devil accuses me of all these different things, and God says, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's no record of Dan sinning in that way. There's no debt that Dan owes me because of that. Why? Because I've been brought near to God. My account has been reconciled. I, who was not a holy person before, have now been made holy before God. You, who are not a holy person before, have now been made holy before God. This is the greatest blessing we can ever receive. That one day King Jesus will show you to His Father and say, here you go. No longer enemies. No longer glory hogs. Sons and daughters of God. That is worth more than anything money can buy. He says, such were some of you. Thank you, Corinthians. We're no longer that. He says this, but you were washed. You were sanctified. That means you were made holy. You were justified. That means forgiven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What is Paul saying? Your past sins don't have to define you now. Your past mistakes and regrets and dumb things that you thought were the right thing to do at the time, but yet they led you to a world of trouble. Those things don't have to define you. Your account has been reconciled. You were those things, Corinthians. You're no longer those things now. Then he says in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. This word if has posed problems for people in this verse. Let's be clear that Paul is not telling the Colossians that if they do their part, God will do His and He will keep them saved. Meaning that if you blow it, you're going to lose your reconciliation. You're going to lose your salvation. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying if you do that. If is the word that's used in the Greek. But you have to understand the connotation of the conditional clauses and phrases in Greek to understand that really this word, even though it's really if, is not meaning conditionally, if that happens, this will happen. No, it's a since. What's he saying? Since you have been reconciled, indeed you will continue in the faith. It's just the opposite. It's since you have been reconciled, you will continue in the faith. But this is also a warning we have to understand. Because the Colossians were under the influence of false teachers that Paul's going to address in chapter 2. False teachers that wanted them to worship angels, right? False teachers that wanted them to go back to some of the Mosaic law for approval before God and disqualification and all that good stuff. Paul is also warning them that a true Christian who's been reconciled to God will persevere. He will continue. He will last. And some of you are going to fall off the track. Some of you are going to fall away. And the answer to that is, well, Dan, what happens to those people? The answer is that they've never been reconciled to begin with. They've never been saved to begin with. Paul assumes that all believers will continue in the faith because they've been reconciled. That's the evidence. That's the evidence. It's made evident by their genuine commitment over the long haul. That Paul is encouraging them, continue, keep going, don't give up. Paul's never doubting that a genuine believer could continue. Matthew Henry says this. Matthew Henry, an old Puritan pastor, theologian. He says, we must continue in the faith grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That is, we must be so well fixed in our minds as not to be moved from it by any temptations. We must be steadfast and immovable and hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Observe, we can expect the happy end of our faith only when we continue in the faith and are so grounded and settled in it as not to be moved from it. So what he says. So we must remember that faith in Christ is not simply a way of entering God's kingdom. It's not simply just a way of being reconciled. It's the evidence of our being reconciled tomorrow. And the next day, and the day after that, and the year after that. God's people always persevere. They never fall off. This is the promise. This is the hope. And how does Paul do this? Continue in the faith. How do you do this? Stable, steadfast, not shifting from what? The hope of the gospel. Paul again focuses all his attention on what truly matters. The gospel. The gospel matters. Jesus dies for sinners. He resurrects on the third day. Repent of your sins. Trust in Him. Believe and you will be saved. You were once alienated and hostile in mind, but now God has brought you near by the blood of His cross. Don't get away from this message. This is most important. And what was going on in this church? Oh, we should worship angels. You know, angels are really nice. Maybe we should even start a business that sells them in a hobby store, make them ceramics and greeting cards and... Oh, wait, does that already exist? Oh, man. I'm kidding. Don't throw stones at me, precious moments, people, okay? Oh, I'm in trouble now, aren't I? What's going on in this church is that they were being so tempted to forget Jesus. No angel has reconciled you to God, Colossians. No angel has changed your hostility and killed your hostility to God and given you a love for God who has changed your affections to now be somebody completely and radically different. Paul, I mean, and we all know people, right? We all know people who walked an aisle, who signed the commitment card, who prayed a prayer, right? And today they're no longer even living like they're a Christian. They're not maybe even going to church, they're not reading their Bible, they don't even admit they're a Christian. I mean, we all know people like that. Well, what happened then? Did God take away their salvation? Did God unreconcile them? No. Again, perseverance in the faith, in this gospel, is evidence that you have been reconciled. John says this. John was addressing some Christians in this church in his first letter to John. He's answering some questions of those who had walked away, who are now teaching different doctrines. This is what he says in 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. Again, what's John saying? Well, there were people in this John's church here that were not persevering. They had strayed from the gospel. And that was evidence of the what? They had never had the gospel to begin with. And thankfully, keeping ourselves saved is not our job. Because if it were up to us, there would be not a single one of us in heaven. We would all fail. Trust me, I would lose my salvation every morning. But I don't. Because it's not up to me. It's by His grace, by His mercy, that keeps me going, persevering along that trail. Keep going, keep going, keep going. It's one of the things I loved about my father-in-law. When he retired from being a pastor, you would think he was just going to check out, live on the islands, play golf the rest of his life, and never think about God the rest of his life ever again, right? He's done his time. Not at all. Matter of fact, if you asked him if he was retired, he says, yes, I get tired every day. He gets retired. Yeah. That's a joke he told. So, again, it's not up to him. But the perseverance to keep going, focusing on that gospel, is evidence since you've been reconciled. This is what happens in your Christian life. But you go away from that gospel, everything's going to go wrong and show itself. And John says it. They went out so that we could see. They were never of us to begin with. And then let me conclude with this. Jude 1:24. Remember, Paul told the Colossians that he reconciled us to God in order to present us, in order to present us. Let those words sink into your hearts today. That you and I are trophies of grace. That's what we are. Trophies of grace. I still have a trophy at home. 1992, Cape Coral Babe Ruth League. Most improved player. I was the MIP. The MIP. Which is just another way of saying, Dan, you really stunk in the beginning. And you turned it around at the end. I was the MIP. I was so proud of that trophy. So proud to get up there and get it. Bring it home and show Mom and Dad. I'm the most improved player. Yeah. Here's the proof to show you who I am. I love to present that trophy everywhere. But when Paul says he did this in order to present us, think about that. Folks, we are trophies of grace. Look what he says in Jude 1:24-25. Just in case that you think that you're not going to make it to the end. Just in case you think that you are going to disappoint God just one more time and that you're going to be damned forever. Just in case you think that it's up to you. Look what Jude says. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you, there we go, blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forever. Amen. That's what Jude says. Jude gives us to Jesus. He's able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless. But Dan, I just keep sinning. I know. Join the club. But in spite of all that, He's able to keep you from stumbling. And that word stumbling essentially means losing it all. If grace means that you can't save yourself, and grace also means you can't unsave yourself, He keeps you from stumbling. And He presents you blameless. Isn't that the point in Paul that Paul makes in Colossians 1? He did this in order to present us holy and blameless above reproach. That's the point. Well, guess what? Jesus doesn't fail. He makes us persevere to the end. And then we get to heaven all battered and bruised and full of our dumb mistakes and dumb sins and things that just hold us back and have weighed us down. And you would think that Jesus says, "All right, Father, here's Dan. He tried his best. He really tried hard, but here's the best we can do, Father. Right? I wish I could have done better with Dan. Right? Ho-hum." No. That's not what he says. What does he say? He presents you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Here's Dan. And Dan stands before you in my righteousness. Dan stands before you as if he has never sinned. Dan stands before you totally forgiven and approved, and not a spot on his record, because he's been reconciled by the blood of my cross. And it gives me joy, Father, to give you Dan, to show you what we have done for your honor and your glory. Yeah. He reconciles me. He keeps me. And he keeps me pushing forward. Although Dan wants to go off track. Dan falls by the wayside. Dan has to pick himself up and say, "Why, dummy, what's wrong with you?" Be encouraged. But none of this is possible if you're not reconciled to God. That's where it begins. How do you be reconciled to God? By faith in what Jesus has accomplished for you. You must understand that you are guilty and that you're out of balance with God. That because of that, you bear the God's judgment and wrath upon you. And that if you were to die in that current state, that you would not be reconciled before God. You would not be presented with great joy. You would still be far away and alienated from God. You have to understand that that's your current predicament. But it's understanding that that's your current predicament that enables you, by faith and through the Holy Spirit enlightening you, to show you, yes, that's your current predicament, but that's not your final doom. If you trust in Jesus Christ and believe that He died perfectly, atoned perfectly, and rose again in victory, you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask Him, "Lord, I believe. I repent of my sins, God." Bible says that's the promise. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Be presented with great joy before the presence of His glory. You can't do it. Stop trying. Just give it to Him and come by faith. This is what reconciliation means. Let's pray. Help us, O God, to glory in this truth. I pray for those that are in here that do not know you, that are not yet reconciled. They haven't yet believed. God, may this truth be so clear to them. Open up their understanding. Open up their hearts to see that they too can be a once werer. Help us, God. Draw us, convict us, and show us your love and glory. Show us Jesus, who brings us into right relationship with God by faith. I pray for believers in this room who beat themselves up, that they're underneath a heavy load of guilt. God, I pray for them that instead of beating themselves up, which just leads to more and more guilt, that they would understand the true power of the cross, that they stand forgiven right now, and that they would live in that truth. May that lead to repentance so they could stop doing what they're doing and turn away from their sin. But God, to know that the forgiveness they have is already theirs. Help us to, like Paul says, stay true to the gospel, the hope of the gospel, which keeps us persevering, steadfast, immovable, joyful. Keep the gospel before us at all time, God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if we could help you in any way with any of these things that God has wrestled your heart with today, please let me know. We love you very much. Let's stand and sing a closing song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Call upon Jesus, he will save you. Let's sing.